Open your Bibles this evening to the Gospel of Luke and chapter 8. Gospel of Luke and chapter 8. We'll be reading together verses 1 through 15. Luke chapter 8. Let's give our attention now to the Word of God. Soon afterward, he went through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Chuza, Herod's household manager, and Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their means. And when a great crowd was gathering, and people from town after town came to him, he said in a parable, "A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell along the path and was trampled underfoot, and the birds of the air devoured it. And some fell on the rock. As it grew up, it withered away because it had no moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up with it and choked it. And some fell in good soil and grew and yielded 100-fold. And he said these things, as he said these things, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And when his disciples asked him what this parable meant, he said, "To you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but for others they are in parables, so that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. The ones along the path are those who have heard, then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. And the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear the word, receive it with joy. But these have no root. They believe for a while, and in time of testing, fall away. As for what fell among the thorns, they are those who hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by the cares and riches and pleasures of life, and their fruit does not mature. As for that in the good soil, they are those who, hearing the word, hold it fast in an honest and good heart and bear fruit with patience. May God add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. Let's pray together. Father, like your servant Samuel of old, hear us now as we cry out, "Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening." And do it for your glory, we pray. Amen. The opening verses of this next chapter provide us with a very brief description of an unspecified period of time in which Jesus is going about throughout all the land preaching the gospel. He is accompanied, on the one hand, by his 12 disciples, as we might expect, but now he is being followed and ministered to by a group of women, women who personally have experienced his grace and power, so much so that now they have dedicated themselves to ministering to Jesus and to his disciples, to their physical needs, and they are supplying those needs out of their own resources. Now, as Jesus has traveled from town to town, his reputation as a remarkable preacher is growing. And so it's not at all surprising when we read in verse 4 of our text that a great multitude had gathered together. in there to hear the preaching of this remarkable speaker. Now, have you ever wondered what it would be like to hear Jesus preach? Well, we are told here that when he preached using a parable. This was the parable of the sower, sometimes called the parable of the soils. It is probably one of the most well-known and oft-quoted parables that Jesus used. Now, that was not surprising, but what was surprising was the particular message that Jesus preached on this occasion. As we think about listening to him preach, we may not be able to hear his voice tonight in these words, but brethren, we can hear his words. We can know his thoughts, and they are striking for us. You can hear his word tonight, and you can profit from that preaching if you listen well. So children, pay close attention. You need to listen well, and adults, you need to listen well if you want to profit from the preaching of the Son of God. We're going to look at three particulars. First of all, a very surprising sermon. Secondly, a very interesting answer, particularly to the question, what does this parable mean? And then lastly, a very illuminating explanation as Jesus shows exactly what this particular parable means. Now let's look first of all at this very surprising sermon. So at the end of verse 4, Luke tells us he spoke a parable. As I said, it's the parable of the sower, well known to most who have been reading the Bible for any length of time. Some of you might be looking at that and saying, okay, so what's so surprising about that? Well, here's what I want you to think about tonight. You and I are probably very accustomed to hearing this parable read or reading it ourselves, and then immediately receiving the explanation. So we usually tie those two things together. But here's what I want you to see. That is not what these people heard that day. As they heard the word that Jesus spoke, it was very different. So try to imagine this scene. The news has spread throughout the land that there is a new preacher in town, so to speak. And there are stories about amazing miracles and divine healings. Some people are even going so far as saying, he is the Messiah. He is the long-awaited coming one. And now, hundreds, possibly thousands of people have gathered together to hear this preacher. And the preacher gets up and goes to the podium. Probably didn't have one of those, but it fits the picture. So the preacher gets up and he goes to preach. You can almost sense that there would be a hush that sweeps across the crowd as they wait to hear. And he begins. And this is what he says. A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was going, some of the seed fell along the road. And the birds came by and ate it. And others of the seed fell off in the rocks, and it sprouted, but then it quickly died because it had no root. And then a few of the seeds fell among the thorns, the weeds. And the weeds sprang up and choked the plants. And then some of the seed fell in good soil, and that seed produced 100-fold. That's it. End of sermon. They had no explanation. They had no application. I think it's safe to say that Jesus was not there to wow the crowd with his oratorial skill. He was not there to impress them with his deep insights into spiritual truth. He was not there to speak to them or demonstrate to them the greatness of his wisdom and skill. But what he was doing was seeking to stir up in the hearts of some of those who had ears to hear, seeking to stir up in them a greater interest in the kingdom of God. And he was seeking to help them understand how God works, especially through the preaching of the word, to bring forth fruit in the hearts and lives of his children. That is what we see taking place. But brothers and sisters, at the end of the day, the profit you receive from the preaching of the word of God is going to depend upon how well you listen and what you do with the word that you hear. So we're going to take a closer look at that. And that brings me to our second point, and that is this very interesting answer. And we see that as the disciples sit there and they hear this parable of the sower, that's it. No explanation. And they're struggling. They're struggling. They don't quite know what to do or what to make of this sermon. Not only was it a very short sermon, but it just didn't quite make sense. What does it mean? And that's why in verse 9, they come to Jesus and they say, what is the meaning of this particular parable? Our Savior's response to them is quite interesting, to say the least. He tells them, to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to the others, it is not given. And that's why I speak to them in parables. And then the Lord quotes from Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. It's a remarkable response that he gives. Now, most of us probably are familiar, at least with the opening scene of Isaiah 6. It's Isaiah in a vision seeing the glory of the Lord exalted high upon his throne, hearing the host of heaven crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And as he hears that and he's convicted of his sin in the face of God's holiness, the Lord takes a coal, or the seraphim take a coal from the altar and touch his lips and cleanse him of his sin. And then he hears the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And he says, here am I, send me. And these verses that Jesus quotes are the verses that he hears as God sends him out to preach. This is what he tells them. And he said, "Go and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and return and be healed." And Jesus is quoting those words. And what he's saying is this: the people will hear. They'll hear the word. They'll hear the sermon. But they won't see. They won't understand. They won't know the truth that is presented to them. This is Jesus explaining why he's using parables. Now, this is not the first time that we've seen Jesus use a parable. Back in Luke chapter 5, it was last July, but some of you still may remember that when we dealt in detail with several things about parables, I want to briefly remind you of two elements. Number one, what is a parable? And number two, what is the purpose of the parable? So as Jesus is giving this parable, we want, number one, to know what a parable is. Parable comes from a Greek word that means to place alongside something else. And in this case, it is a story or a description of a well-known event that's then placed alongside of a particular teaching or instruction. And it's done so for the purpose of illustrating that teaching or emphasizing that teaching in a special way. Secondly, as far as the purpose of the parable, according to Jesus, the parable has a twofold purpose. On the one hand, it is to reveal truths to his disciples, to those who have ears to hear, as he has described it. And so it's to reveal to them in a very vivid and memorable way the truth that he is seeking to teach them. And so a couple of examples of that. When Jesus is talking about the parable of the wheat and the tares, he could have just said, "Listen, get used to it. You're going to have unbelievers and believers together in the church." But he doesn't. He talks about the parable of the wheat and the tares, and that they both grow together until the judgment day, when the harvest is done and the tares will be burnt and the wheat will be gathered into barns. He does the same thing when he comes to teaching them about humility, particularly before God, and humility in prayer and worship. Now, he could have said, "Be humble when you worship God." But he doesn't. He gives them a parable. The Pharisee who comes in and says, "Wow, I'm thankful I'm not like these other sinners." And the publican, the sinner, who comes and refuses to lift his eyes, but beats upon his breast and says, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." You see, he uses a parable to emphasize and illustrate the particular teaching that he wants to convey. But then the other side of the coin, so to speak. On the other hand, a parable is used to conceal truth, to hide truth from those who have hardened their heart, who have closed their ears, who don't have ears to hear, but refuse to hear. Now, for some of us, that might sound a bit harsh, that Jesus would purposefully hide the truth from certain individuals, that he would actually conceal the truth of God's word from them. Well, don't misunderstand the situation here. God does not arbitrarily reveal and conceal on a whim. He doesn't just look out across the audience and say, okay, you, 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 and you, I'm going to reveal my truth to. But you, the rest of you, I'm going to conceal it. I'm going to hide it from you. That's not the picture here. Actually, in Matthew 13, Jesus interprets, because there he quotes Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 as well, and he interprets it by saying, their ears are hard of hearing. They have made themselves hard of hearing. And listen, he says, their eyes, they have closed. They don't want to see. They don't want to hear. They have turned a deaf ear to the word of God. So you see, my friends, the problem is not with the word of God. The problem is not that the message is unclear. The problem is with the heart of the hearers. That they've closed their eyes. That they've hardened their hearts. And the Lord says in those cases, they are going to be there. They're going to hear the word, but they're not going to understand it. They're going to be there. They're going to see it, but they're not going to know what it means because they've hardened their hearts. Now, that's an issue for us to consider. This is not just about the Pharisees in Jesus' day. This is an issue for you and me. And the real issue is, do you really want to hear? Do you really want to see the truth and understand the truths of God's word? And maybe we could ask it like this. If you really want to hear and profit from the word you hear preached, if you really want to see and understand and know these glorious truths in your own heart and see them worked out in your life, how much time did you spend praying that God would do that in you tonight, this morning? As you prepared to come to church this Lord's Day, did you pray that God would work, that He would bless His word, that He would use that word to convict you of sin, to convince you of what's right and good in His sight? Did you pray, brethren, that God would bless and use His word? Did you prepare the ground of your heart? Now, children, this is not just something that adults do. This is something you can do. And you will understand, we'll talk more about this in just a moment, about preparing the ground of your heart to receive the word of God. Listen, if you don't prepare, your heart is going to be hard like the pathway that the sower was walking on. And the seeds fell and the birds came and snatched the seed away. Did you come tonight expecting God to bless? Expecting God to work in you, to sanctify you by His word? Story was told of Spurgeon when a young preacher came to him and said, "Mr. Spurgeon, why is it when you preach, hundreds of people are converted? And when I preach, no one responds?" And he looked at the young man and he said, "Young man, you don't honestly expect people to be converted every time you preach, do you?" And the young man said, "Of course not." Spurgeon said, that's your problem. You don't expect God to work. What makes you think he's going to work? You don't prepare. You don't pray. Brethren, we need to be going before God regularly and praying and seeking and preparing our hearts to receive the Word of God. That's what Jesus is talking about here. To you it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. But to many it is not, because their eyes they have closed and their ears are hardened to hear. Well, lastly, let's look at his very illuminating explanation. So beginning in verse 11, Jesus begins to explain what this parable is all about to his disciples. And here are the basics. The seed is the word of God. The four different kinds of soil are four different kinds of people. They all hear the word of God, but with a very different result. The birds, the rocks, the thorns are three obstacles, three things that can prevent the word from having its desired effect of bringing forth fruit in the life of the one who hears it. But there is one kind of soil that brings forth much fruit. It is the person who hears, who keeps, and who uses the word that he hears. Now, my friends know this, that this parable, in its description, comprehends every kind of person and every kind of heart. And especially this, your heart is like one of these kinds of soil tonight. Every single one of us, your heart is like one of these kinds of soil. So let's look at how Jesus explains it. The first type of soil is just plain hard. It does not mean that this individual is an openly wicked person or defiant and rebellious individual. He hears the word. This pathway soil is one who hears the word. But here's the problem. This individual makes absolutely no effort whatsoever to retain what he hears, to keep that word, to remember that word, to apply that word in his life. He hears the message, and that's it. When he leaves, he doesn't think about it anymore. He doesn't pray over it. He doesn't consider it. And so it's very easy for the enemy and that type of situation to come in, the devil to come in and snatch away the word that he's heard so that it produces no fruit. I was thinking this afternoon that last week we sang the hymn, God Himself is with us. And what a glorious truth that is, and a comfort to our souls to think about the fact that God is here. God is with us. But someone else is here. The devil is here. And he is waiting, my friends. He's waiting to see how you will respond to the preaching of the word. If you hear it, and then you forget it, all he's got to do is come in and sweep it up and take it away. It will have no impact and it will bear no fruit. The second type of soil, not quite as hard as the first. As a matter of fact, Jesus tells us the one that fell among the rocks, this is he who receives the word with joy. So here now is someone who hears the word and he receives it with joy. But it's, as it were, only on the surface. It's a very shallow response. And so whatever response there is of apparent love and faith, it's temporary. It doesn't last long. Perhaps you've known people like this. They come and they're all excited at one point with joy, and they profess to know the Lord. Within a short period of time, they drift away. They turn their back. They walk away from the things of the Lord. And that is what Jesus is describing here as the seed that fell among the rock. The third type of soil is perhaps the most common, and I would say the most dangerous of all. Because what Jesus says is that this individual hears the word, and he receives that word, and even makes some effort to grow and to use the word that he receives. But at the same time, he's wrapped up in the things of this world. And so Jesus says the cares of this life, and the desire for riches, and the fascination with pleasures in this world, these all serve to choke the word so that it produces no fruit. In other words, this person has no time to pray. He has no time to really study the word. He has no time to minister to other people in the body of Christ, because he's got so much else to do. There are all these different activities and all these pleasures and the desire for more money and more things. And he's distracted, and the word and the fruit that could be born is choked out by all these other things. I don't know how long it will be, but before too long, we're going to get to Luke chapter 17. And there is a very telling passage of Scripture in which he speaks about the coming of the Son of Man. If you look at Luke 17 and verse 26, he says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all." My friends, do you recognize the significance here? These are not wicked, sinful actions. They ate, they drank, they got married, they bought, they sold. These were not wicked things they were doing, but they were the things of the world that so filled the lives of these people. They had no time for God. That's the danger here of those who hear the word. And the cares of this life and the riches and the pleasures of the things of this world so dominate their lives that they have no time to profit from the word that they hear. Well, the fourth and final type of soil is called good ground in verse 15. Here are those who hear the word, who keep the word, and who bear much fruit as a result of the word. Three things that I think we can do to help us be good ground. Not necessarily easy, But three things we need to give attention to. Number one, plow the ground. Plow the ground. A profitable hearing of the word, of the seed, falling into good soil depends on the condition of the ground. When the ground is plowed, when it's cleared of the rocks and debris, when it's fertilized and watered, then the word will be heard. It will be received with eagerness and joy. And you will know what it is when you prepare your heart to receive the word. Now, the very first year we were married, I think it was the first year, might have been the second, my wife decided she was going to plant a garden. And in South Carolina, many of you know, it is red clay. It's hard as concrete. And she went out there. The ground was hard. She gathered up a mound of rocks that could have built a stone wall. The ground was horrible. But after years of working that ground, of fertilizing that ground, of clearing it of all the debris, it began to produce fruit in the garden. And my friends, our hearts are by nature hard as concrete. And there's all kinds of debris. We need to search our hearts. We need to clear it of every conceivable sin that might distract or hinder our labors. All of this, we need to prepare our hearts with prayer, as I've already mentioned. It may be as simple as going to bed early on Saturday night so you're not tired on the Lord's Day. You need to prepare the ground. You need to plow that ground. Secondly, keep the word. That's one of the things that Jesus says this individual does, that he keeps the word. You need, children, you need to listen carefully and attentively to the word, if you want to profit from it. You need to not let Satan snatch that word away, or the things of this world choke the word. And there's all kinds of things you can do. For many, the best thing you can do is write it down. But if that's not what you want to do, do whatever you need to somehow take that word with you. Don't be like the one that hears it and walks away and never thinks about it again. Do whatever you need to take it with you. Read over it again later that day or later that evening. Take some time and go back over the passage that you've just heard proclaimed. You need to pray over it. You need to talk about it with your family members, with your friends. You need to memorize verses. It's vital if you're going to keep that word and profit from it. And do what you can, but memorize what you can. It's not always easy for many of us. But remember how the psalmist puts it in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. He says, "How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to your word." And then in verse 11, he says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." My friends, if you don't want the enemy to snatch away the word, hide it from him. Protect it. Guard it. Keep it. And don't let him take it away from you. And then lastly, labor for the fruit from the word. Put the word into practice. So as you hear, you need to leave this place thinking, okay, how can I use this? How can I put this into practice? What in my life can benefit from what I've heard today? So take the word that you hear, put it into practice, make use of it, and be diligent and consistent in seeking to use it for benefit. But I want you to notice the very last word that Jesus says here. He says these people in verse 15 are the ones who, having heard the word with a good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. It's very, very important that we don't miss this final word. Because you don't plant seeds today and pick tomatoes tomorrow. It takes time. Be patient as you begin this process. Don't be discouraged. Because you start today, but you don't see fruit tomorrow or the next day or the next. It takes time. And I think that's why Jesus says, bear fruit with patience. Be consistent. Be persistent. Don't give up and don't be discouraged. But take the word and use it. And bear fruit with patience. Well, I trust that this is helpful to us as we consider what kind of soil we are tonight. How do we respond to the hearing of the Word of God? And may the Lord give us strength and grace to honor Him and glorify Him in our response. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for these words and we thank you for your grace that promises to those who have ears to hear, you will work. You will reveal the very mysteries of the kingdom of God. Lord, would you help each one of us in this room tonight to look to you, to call upon you in earnest, and to expect from your hand tonight that you will work and you will use your word for the glory of your name and the good of your church. We pray for Jesus' sake. Amen. Let's take a few moments and consider these things carefully.